Amen. How are you this morning? Amen. Praise God. Hey, what I want you to do is I want you to turn around and greet someone around you. You have to give a high five to at least three people. If you don't know them, introduce yourself. Introduce yourself. High five to three people. Three people. It's not heavy math. You can do it. Here, Doug, give me one. At least I get one. All right. Meet someone you never met before. All right. Praise God. Praise God. Hey, I bring you greetings from your brothers and sisters in Zambia and Kenya. I just got back. It was Friday night at 9. Friday night at 9 p.m. From after over 35 hours of travel to the African countries. And so I bring you a greeting. But I'm going to talk a moment for about that. But first, we just want to remember, I said, who I am. I said, if I haven't met you, my name is Gary. I'm a pastor here at Bridge City. And our pastor, our lead pastor of this campus, Pastor Ben and his wife Melanie, they're in the process of moving right now. And many people who this is your home, you know they've been looking for a home in our area. I don't believe they have found that yet, but they had to be out of their house. So they're in the process of moving. So he's not on vacation. He's working this morning, okay, in a manual way. Can we just pray for them real quick? Again, because God, man, we're praying for them to get the right house in the right place. Right now, they're going to be going into a temporary setting. So, Father, we lift up Pastor Ben and Melanie and their kids, Zach and Emma. And, Father God, again, we join these prayers with everyone that has been praying. And, Father, we cry out, God, for your favor upon them. God, give them peace in this transition. Father God, again, Lord, we just ask, Father, you direct them. Where are they to live? Get them into that house. Father, we know that you have a plan. You have a plan. Amen. So, Father God, be with them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I don't know. You know, they're moving in with Melanie's mother. Maybe God wants to work out something between Ben and his mother-in-law. I don't know. Maybe. So, but he said, we want to keep them in prayer. God has a plan. But obviously, that's a stressful thing as they're making the transition, and he wants to walk in strength here. Hey, so let's talk about missions for a moment. You know, missions is a very important thing to us here in our church family. You know, just a week ago, we had a team, 20 people returned from Buffalo, New York, that were doing street ministry. And just yesterday, we had 10 people return from Guatemala. So this year, we're looking at over 60 people that from our church family that have gone out of the city for the purposes of the kingdom of God. Amen? That's something to celebrate. We celebrate that. Again, because that's people saying, my life is not my own. That's people putting their time, their energy, and their money forward for the purposes of the kingdom. And I applaud them. So I just want to get to introduce you here to a few people that I know, I've gotten to know. And this first one, this is the Roar Pastor School. For those that are new, like I said, I work extensively with Global Roar, which is doing pastoral and leadership training. And this is a school. It said usually there are about 30 people. A school in Lusaka, Zambia. I was there a week ago, and teaching them again just fundamentals and operating prophetically. There's great stories, stories of healing, and people being set free out of this school. And again, so this is a second generation school. That means that they've been doing this before. And let's see this next one. This is Pastor Joel and his wife Emma. They're the ones that have been faithfully serving here. And as you can imagine, I mean, these are people coming out of a third world situation. And so they all have an amazing testimony. They all have a testimony that would blow us away on the way God has literally kept them alive through these years. So this is Pastor Joel. You'll hear us talk about him. He has traveled with me throughout Africa. Really, really gifted minister. The next is the school in Katali, Kenya. This is where I was through Wednesday. And this is the school there. Again, there's about 30 people all being trained, looking to go into unreached areas. And the next slide here is Pastor David Collins, gifted young man, 34 years old. He has a doctorate. His wife has a master's. They run this school. And he has also traveled with me. He'll be traveling with me again in September. again, just basically leadership training. This guy has a real heart for the unreached people groups. He actually comes from one. He comes from an unreached group about 3 hours from where we're meeting in Katale, which is Western Kenya. And I'll be traveling with him in September to a school in, we're doing a new school in Mount Elgon, which is west, way far west Kenya, which is in among really unreached areas. So we'll be doing a school there. And this last slide, this is where I ministered last Sunday. And the name of the church was Mountain of Transfiguration and Healing Ministries. I left off the international part, okay? But again, amazing, amazing time of ministry here with this dynamic church. This is their leadership team that I ministered to last Sunday afternoon. God just moved prophetically in this church. Nine people responded to the gospel that morning. And again, just the dynamic time. And God's going to hook us up with this church. In reaching unreached. This guy has a heart for the unreached. So again, God is doing great things. I thank you. I thank you personally for praying. Everything that I do is fueled by prayer. I've been doing this now for a couple of years. And again, I have not had a trip that I'd say did not flow in the power of the Spirit. I've not had one. And listen, that's because of you. That's because of you praying. Amen? Hear that. That's because of you praying. You know, if you're going to have great results, you need to have great prayer. And there's been great results. And I know that's because we're standing together for the purposes of the kingdom of God. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, we come before you. God, we thank you. We thank you for the opportunity to be used by you, that you would call us sons and daughters. That's a stunning, stunning statement. God, we don't take that for granted. Thank you. And Father God, we lift up these moments together now, Father, as we open up your word. God, challenge us, comfort us, encourage us, convict us. Whatever we need in these moments, Holy Spirit, you can do it. In Jesus' name, they all said, amen. Amen. Are you ready? Okay, Ephesians chapter 2. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2 in your Bible or on your phone. Hey, how many people carry a Bible now? Who here has a Bible? Raise your hand if you carry a Bible. Okay? Well, you know, times are changing, right? Times are changing. Is there anyone under 40 that carries a Bible? Okay. All right. Amen. Okay. Be proud. Be loud. Be proud. All right. Amen. Okay. Just wondering again, because times have changed. Times have changed. I'm not upset about that necessarily. But again, I'm not upset. Life changes. Life changes, and I know we embrace the changes. I am so thankful. I mean, I'm at a place in my life where I've been an elder for 40 years, and I don't know what it would be like to prepare a message without Google. So I appreciate the technology that we have. Use it. Let's use it to our advantage. Amen. Just withhold the temptation to check your Facebook page during the message if you can. Okay, Ephesians chapter 2. Paul is writing. He's writing to this is where the message starts. Okay, 10:38 the message started. Okay, that other stuff doesn't count towards my message time, just so you know. Amen? All right. Paul's writing to the new Christians in the city of Ephesus. And remember, everyone's a new Christian. He's encouraging them on what has just transpired in your life and what's happening. So he's bringing clarity. And let's hear what he says here. He says, he's encouraging them. He says, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. You know, we have a family business that we have. And, you know, if someone is in our employment, you know, we help train them, and they work for us. They wear our shirt, so to speak, our name. You know, and so when they're working for us, we expect them to do work, right? You know, people don't stand around with hands in their pockets, and they certainly don't wander off doing their own thing when they're working for us. Common sense, right? That's what we want. That's common sense. Well, in the same way, what we need to remember who we truly work for. Okay, we work for Jesus Christ. Okay, we are his workmanship. We're his workmanship. He literally designed you. He made you. When in this word workmanship here, it's the Greek word poiemai. It means a thing made. Jesus has made you. He's designed you. But not only that, it says he's prepared things for you to do, for you to walk in them. So God has designed you. You're his. You're his. And a problem that we have as Christians is we forget who we belong to. Say ouch or amen, which one fits. Okay, whichever one fits, say it. Okay, we forget that we're not our own. We don't belong. We don't own ourselves. And if we look here in Paul's words to the Christians in Corinth here in 1 Corinthians 6, we got to remember this. Don't you realize your body's a temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself. God bought you with a high price. What price did he pay for you? Right? He died for you. I want you to point to someone and say, Jesus died for you. He died for you. He died for you. You were bought with a high price. In other words, you are owned by someone else. And as proud Americans, we don't necessarily like that verbiage, but it's a reality. It's a reality. You don't belong to yourself. Let's read that together. That fourth line down, right? We're going to say, you don't belong to yourself. Ready? One, two, three. You do not belong to yourself. God has bought you with a high price. We need to remember who we belong to. We've got to hold fast to that because it will set us free. It literally will set us free in our lives. God bought you. He designed you. He gifted you. And he has plans for you. All that is for you. Is for you. Now, the sad reality is most Christians live their life not even knowing God has a plan. And many of the Christians who have heard this and they can contextualize it are trying to run from the plan that God has for them. Today, we want that set free. Amen? Today, that changes. Today, that changes. I don't just want to say I belong to him. I want to live like I belong to him. Belong to him. You're not your own. You have been bought. You've been bought. Thank God you've been bought. You know, we have this book. You know, this is God's story, right? This is his story. And so thankful for it. He allowed man to have a part in writing it. Just amazing. Okay, he allows us to be part of that. Well, now you need to recognize, though, your life is a story. Your life is a story. And you need to let God write your story. God's the one that wants to write the narrative of your story. That's a desire that he has for you. He wants to write it. Now, again, doesn't that sound good? God wants to write your story? I mean, there should be an excitement inside of there. But if we're honest, there's also a little bit of terror in allowing God to write the story. Because you don't know what he's going to write. Okay? You don't know. I know I've once... Before I started my business many, many years ago, most of you weren't born, and having to give a report to superiors that someone else wrote. I had to give a report. Now, the problem was they didn't give it to me early, and I'm giving a report, and I don't know what's in the report, okay? And I don't know if it's real. I don't know if it's accurate, you know? And again, so I was fearful of giving that report. Well, I feel for a lot of us, we are fearful of letting God write the story because you don't know what he's going to write in it. You don't know what the narrative of the story is going to call for you to do. He has a plan for you. He has a plan. You know, and God's saying, look, let me have the pen and let me write your story. Give me the pen. See, because God won't take it. God will not write your story unless you want him to. It's up to us. And for most of us, we're like, God, yes, here. I thank you, God. Write the story. I've been forgiven for my sin. Amen. We like that's part of the story. That God, my life here on earth is secure. Thank you, Father. Write the story. That I have heaven in front of me. Write the story. And God, listen, God, you can even write what I'm going to do on Sunday mornings, and I'll give you one night a week, and I'll give. I'll be a generous giver. But God, the rest, I'm keeping the pen. I'm keeping the pen. I'm going to decide what's going to happen with the other things in my life. See, most of us really don't want to give God the pen. We don't want to trust him with writing the story. We want him to be a co-writer. I want to write it with him alongside with me. And again, it's like, why do we have this hesitation? Why? Why don't we trust him? Why don't we trust God? Why don't we trust God? You know, and listen, the reality of that is because we don't trust him. We don't trust him. You know, there are many things we don't even pray about because if we pray about those things, if I ask him about going to Liberia on a mission trip, he might say yes. Right? If I really ask him about making me an evangelist, someone who can share my faith effectively, man, he might put me on the spot. You know, we hesitate because we're fearful of what he will say. Fearful of what he will say. Aren't you glad you're here today? Amen. Man, how many need to hear this? Okay, all right, what do the rest of you need to hear? Okay. Listen, what are we missing by not letting God write the story? What are you missing out on? If you keep the pen, you keep editing rights to your story. What do you miss? What's going to happen? What do you miss out on? You know, listen, what you miss is God's best plan for your life. See, we have to remember God has a better plan for your life than you do. God has a better plan for your life than you. Right? He has more than you could ask or think. He has things he wants to put before you and has for you to do, designed for you to do. All right? He has the best plan. But you have to trust him. We got to trust him in that context. He has a great plan. I mean, as a father, my children are grown, but still, I want to see them prosper. I want to see them prosper in health. I want to see them prosper emotionally. I want to see them prosper materially. I want them to live with a purpose. Man, that's what I want as a father. That's my desire for them. Right? Every parent has that for their child. Well, God in heaven is the same way. He has a plan. He has a plan for you. He has a good plan for you. But, you know, I know, again, as a father in the natural, you know, in raising them up, we had them do a lot of things they didn't want to do. Okay, right? They're things, kids don't want discipline. Okay? But praise God, they had parents like us, right? And so they may not have been happy children, but they're happy adults. Okay? But the point is, it was a good plan. We had their best at heart. God has your best at heart. He has the best plan. He can write a better story than you can write. He sees the potential in you. He wants you blessed. He wants you blessed. Look at someone, look at him, look in their eyes and say, God wants you blessed. God wants you blessed. Yes, he does. That is absolutely his desire. That's his desire. But he says, you got to give me the pen. Give me the pen. You got to trust me that I can write this story for you. Help us. Help us, God. You know, in an action movie, you always have the hero. There's a hero in every action movie. You know, and that hero is the one who's going to stand up and do the right thing. The hero is going to defend the defenseless, right? Total disregard for their own safety. And they're going to exercise superhuman courage. Okay, that's the hero of the story. What you need to recognize is God wants you to be a hero for someone else. It's absolutely his desire. He wants you to literally be someone else's hero. That next slide, please. And I mean, catch this. That's his desire. He wants you to be a hero for someone. Think about that. We're to carry life. You are carrying the answers that the world is looking for. He wants you to be a hero. How many want to be a hero? Okay, of course, man. I want to honor God. I do want to be the answer for someone else. I do want to be that person. Okay. Well, again, you've got to let him write the story. You've got to let him do it. You are called to be heroic. Every one of us. Every one of us, man. And you know, because you think about this life. In God, we should be growing so fast in God. That literally, it's like growing in understanding and revelation that you're like a tree that's growing wild. Because, you know, Jesus said in John 15, 2, he said that even Christians who are healthy, they get pruned back. They get pruned that they could bear more fruit. But you know, they're growing. I mean, are you growing? Is there growth? Are you growing so fast in God he has to prune you back? Or are you one that you need fertilizer thrown around your roots? Okay, where are you? I mean, are you growing that quick? Because that's what should be happening. We should be people, again, because we recognize who he is. We recognize he has a great story for us, but we've got to give him the pen. And in these next few moments together, I'm going to do my best. I'm going to do my level best to put you in position where you will trust God and give him the pen and let him write the story of your life as he desires, as he wants to pen the story. You know, because again, listen, if we let God pen the story, he's gonna write something great. He's gonna write something epic. He's gonna write a story about someone who walks in joy throughout their life. Talk about someone who walks in peace of mind through every storm. Through every storm, they're still at peace. There's still a meaning in their lives. They give themselves away. They're looking to honor God with their actions and with their mouth. It's a story, man. It's going to be a great story. It's going to be a good story. But we have to, again, can we trust him? You know, I just was trying to read a book. I was trying to read it because it was so boring when I was away. And it was recommended by someone I really respect. And it was a story about courage and overcoming adversity. But it really was a boring story. It was a really boring story. And I was thinking about it because this story was supposed to be more inspiring. But you know, most of our Christian lives, if people read our story, it'd be pretty boring. It'd be pretty boring. Why? Because we're not living that heroic life that he's called us to live. We're not living that heroic life. So again, who wants to read a boring story? Okay, right? All right, say ouch. Okay, all right. Listen, or there's the other end, and that's people that have lived an undisciplined life, you know, of whatever it be, immorality, drunkenness, crude talk, just general out of control behavior. Okay, again, that's a depressing story. That's a depressing story with a bad ending. And again, for some of us, we have that story. Now, the good news is the story's not over. There's still more chapters to be written. Amen? There's more chapters to be written in your story. Are you glad? I am thankful. God, write more stories. Write more stories. Put the bow on this life. Okay, man, I want to continue to lay my life down and see what he has to do. But again, we got to give up the editing rights. I got to give up the editing rights. Man, again, because this is what we do. This is what we do. Doug, you be God right now, okay? Here, come here. Doug's God. Finally, people have recognized it. Amen. Amen. Your mothers thought you were God for a long time. Amen. Okay, this is what we do. I say, okay, all right, God, I'm giving you the pen. Here it is. You write the story. Okay, and we say, okay, God, what do you want me to do? And so we're praying, and God starts saying, okay, Gary, what I want you to do is I want you to not just start tithing, I want you to give 15% of your income away. And I'm like, give me back the pen. give me back the pen. All right, hold on. Okay, I'm back. Here, I'm giving you the pen. Okay, so I give him the pen. I'm like, and then, okay, God, something else I can do. He says, okay, look, you've never learned how to share your faith. You need to learn how to share your faith because you have family members that need to hear, and you have neighbors you need to reach. I'm like, give me back the pen. Give me back the pen. There's got to be a better, there's got to be someone else up there who can write this story. See, but isn't that what we do? You can sit down. Thank you. Isn't that what we do? See, you're in church any given Sunday, and you hear words, and you say, oh, man, that's right. But do you really give him the pen? Or before you walk out the door, you took it back? Right? Listen, if God's going to write your story, you've got to trust him. You have to give him the pen. And again, let's be honest. Most of us are co-writers of our own story. The vast majority of us. Okay? There's a choice that we have to make if we want to walk in everything God has. I want you to walk in all the goodness of God. Right, that's my desire. I want you to walk in all that he has, because that's where you're going to have the most impact on others and where you're going to have the most exciting life. But you got to believe God has the best story. God has the best story. And again, you know, if we're not going to trust him, you lose. See, but it's never just you that loses. The people you love around you, they also lose. Because they're not catching, they're not getting caught up in the wave that you've made in walking in the Holy Ghost. So the people you love are not being touched. And that cuts deeper, right? That cuts deeper. And there's people in the world that he wants us to touch. If I'm writing the story, those people aren't getting touched. Because remember he said, look, back in the first scripture, where was I? Ephesians 2:10, right? Ephesians 2:10, where he said, I have good works prepared for who? You. He has good works specifically for Patrick that no one else can do but Patrick. Specific mission for Linda. Specific mission for all of us. Specific for you. If you don't follow that, those people don't get touched. And your family's the first one that will suffer because of that. Set us free, Lord. Set me free again. Man, and here's the saddest part. We won't know what we missed till we see him face to face. Because you will stand before God. We're all going to give an account on that day, right? Man, we're going to give an account for our stewardship. And God is going to hold you accountable. You know, again, we can't forget that. You are going to stand before God. We see this throughout the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 3 is one of those scriptures. But again, just like in our business, you know, people work for us. There's a standard. There's things they have to fulfill. There's a behavior they have to have. There's really quotas that have to happen. If you're going to work here, those things need to happen. Okay. Well, God has had, remember, you belong to him. You're his workmanship. God has made an investment in you, and he's going to look for a return. He's going to look for that in your life, man. And we see that in the parable of the talents in Matthew 25. We don't have time to go there. See, but you got to remember, look, God's plan for you is beyond what you can imagine. It's beyond what you can think, man. That's what we want you to see. That's what we want you to see. So again, let's just look. There's three things I just want to share with you in these next few moments together. And it's, how do we let God be the author of our story? What do we have to do? What are the things we have to do to let God really author the story? And the first one, you have to believe God has the best story for your life. You've got to settle this issue. You've got to settle this, because this is the biggest problem. You know, why is the reason that you have problems parting with your money to give to the kingdom of God, tithing and generosity? Why? Because, again, it's not because you're rebellious. It's because you're afraid, if I give that much, I won't be able to live, right? And what are you really saying? You're saying, I don't trust you, right? So you got to believe that God's plan's the best. Amen? Who has the best plan? God, not a trick question, right? Not a trick question. Okay, so I just want to narrate a story here of Saul, King Saul. Now, again, I'm not going to read these scriptures. Joe, if you could just put that first one up there. This story's out of 1 Samuel, and I'm just going to kind of narrate it. You know, we're introduced to Saul here in chapter 9, and Saul, again, was a son of a wealthy man. And we can see here, he was a handsome guy. He was a tall guy. Okay, he was, again, obviously, I'm sure had some popularity. And we go forward to the next scripture out of verse 5. And we see again that he was, his father sent him out to hunt for some donkeys. Some donkeys were lost that they belonged to, and they were out hunting for them. They couldn't find them. He wanted to return home. All Saul wanted to do was find the donkeys. Okay, that's all he wanted to do. That's what he was looking to do. And his servant said, hey, let's not go back. There's a man of God. There's a man of God in a town up here. Samuel was the prophet of the nation at that time. And the next slide here, we drop down to verse 15. And Samuel, God had told him, hey, I'm going to show you who the next king, or the very first king of Israel, is going to be. And you can see that he said to him, tomorrow about this time, I'll send you a man from the land of Benjamin. You'll anoint him to be the prince of my people. Okay, so you can see what's happening here. You can see what's going to transpire as you look at the story. And as we go forward here to chapter 10, we find out that Saul meets Samuel. Samuel immediately tells him, don't worry about the donkeys. before Saul asked, he told him, the donkeys are found, don't worry about it, but stay here, I'm going to have a meal with you and hang out till tomorrow morning. Then this is what happened the very next morning. Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on his head and kissed him and said, has not the Lord appointed you to be a prince over his people Israel? And you shall reign over the people of the Lord, and you'll save them from the hand of their surrounding enemies. What an amazing story. What an amazing story that God is writing for Saul. One problem. Saul doesn't want to give God the pen. He does not want to give God the pen. And those of you who have been serving God for a while, you know where this story goes. What happens? Well, down in verse 20, down in 17:20, we see that Samuel brought all the tribes together, and picking up here in verse 21. Okay, this is what happened. 7 days later, he told Saul. Now, he told Saul, I'm going to make you king in front of all the people. Okay, what's happened? Samuel brought all the tribes of Benjamin near by its clans. By the clan of the Matrites was taken by Lot. Saul, the son of Kish, was taken by Lot. But when they sought for him, he could not be found. So they inquired again to the Lord, is there a man still to come? And the Lord said, behold, he's hidden himself among the baggage. Here, he is called to be king. God is writing him a heroic story. And what's Saul doing? Hiding. He's hiding. The story intimidates him. He wasn't looking. He wasn't looking to be king, right? He had a good life going. Life was good. He didn't have responsibility. See, and one thing we have to catch, look, God does have a great story for you. He has a great story for you. He wants to write a great story. But you better believe that his plan is good, and that it's he's equipped you to do it, or else you will keep hiding among your baggage. Right? Because that's really what happens. The reason we don't trust, because all of us are carrying some baggage, and we hide in the baggage. God wants to set you free that you could see he has a story for you, and he wants you to let him write it. Can somebody say ouch or amen? Amen? Right, God has a story. And this is what you got to catch. Again, catch this reality. God is not looking at your ability and your talent. That's not what he is doing. What's God doing? What's God doing? He's looking at your heart. God's looking at your heart. God looks at the heart, not your ability. He looks at your heart, not your ability. So when he's writing this story, you keep saying, who am I? That's what Saul said. Saul was saying, who am I? I can't do this. I'm not equipped for this. I'm not a priest. I'm not a prophet. But God said, no, but you're my man. God looks at the heart. Now, I'm thankful for that. Listen, if I looked in the mirror at all the things that God has me doing and in this stage of my life and what he's done through my life, it wouldn't have happened because I couldn't believe it looking in the mirror. But I had to look to him. I had to look to him. I had to trust him that he had a plan and he had a story to write. Right? He wants to write a story for you. Amen? If you're willing to give him the pen and not take it back. Okay? So Saul was in a difficult place. Now, thankfully, I mean, he did finally respond. But that leads us to our second point. Second point, look, if we're going to be those who are going to trust God and give him the pen, you have to believe he has the best story for you. And secondly, you have to accept that this place, this story is going to make you uncomfortable. You are going to be uncomfortable in the story. Right? And particularly as Americans, we're not used to uncomfortability. We're trained to avoid it. And we're blessed in prosperity to try to avoid as much uncomfortableness as possible. God has a plan for you, but it's going to make you uncomfortable. And we have all these examples here. All these heroes in the faith were made uncomfortable. So we know Saul was uncomfortable. How about the story of Esther? Esther's story. Well, you know, if I go see the king, he could kill me. Right? That's an uncomfortable story. But is that a heroic story? Absolutely. Absolutely, it's heroic. The story, how about the virgin mother? The virgin mother. The angel comes and says, you are going to give birth supernaturally. And again, she knew that this was going to wreck her life. Her life was going to be wrecked again. Could you imagine your daughter coming home to you and saying, I am pregnant, but I was never with a man. How are you going to react? Right? How are you going to react? Again, and how would the village react? This is a strict Jewish culture. But she had to be heroic to believe God had a better plan. She was heroic. She was heroic. Okay, how about JL? Oh, this amazing story where, I love the story of JL, where again, the nation was at war, and she just happened to be home, and the foreign king was running, because he was on the run. She invited him into the house, had him go to sleep, gave him warm milk, and then drove a tent peg through his head. Okay, that's a heroic story. That's a heroic story. Okay, and again, just Google JL. Look at the story, okay? Look at the story. You may want to name your daughter that. Okay. Gideon. Gideon is another story. Remember, Gideon's hiding out. He's hiding out in a wine press. And the angel comes and says, you're a mighty warrior. And says, who do you think you're talking to? He had difficulty believing God had the story. But it made him uncomfortable is the point. You have to be willing to be made uncomfortable for God to write your story. We have the story of Noah, Josiah, the king. Man, when they were being attacked by a million-man army from Midian, what did he do? He was made very uncomfortable. Ruth was uncomfortable. My gosh. So that's what you have to catch. Look, can you embrace being uncomfortable for the purposes of the kingdom of God? If you're going to let him write your story, he's going to make you uncomfortable. He's going to put you in uncomfortable places. And I know, my wife and I can attest to this, even in this stage of our lives. Again, I'm amazed what God does with me when I'm overseas, and I'm amazed. I'm like, God, I don't deserve this. It's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable because I keep getting pushed further and further out into faith. He keeps pushing me out further. But if I didn't accept the uncomfortable, I wouldn't see him do great things. All right? We gotta live for something bigger. Okay, this last one. Listen, if we are going to be those who are going to let God have the pen, we've got to commit to know God better than we do right now. We've got to know him better than we do now. Listen, you do not have enough faith to finish your story. Okay? You don't have enough faith right now. I mean, we are called, in other words, we have to know God better. We need to be people who are dedicated to know him, to talk to him, to pray, to be with him in intimate moments. I need to read this book. I need to read this book because I need to know him better. I got to know him better. I recall the story of the disciples. The disciples put together, you put up that Luke scripture, Joe. They saw Jesus praying, and obviously they saw him praying a lot. And I'm sure they were recognizing there's a connection here between Jesus praying and all the power that he walks in. And we see they said to him, so Jesus was praying in a certain place. After he had finished, one of the disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John the Baptist did. Teach us to pray. And this course where he taught them the guidelines of prayer, which we know is the Lord's Prayer. But the point is, look, you have to know God better than you ever have. You've got to be committed. You've got to be committed. You got to have time with him. I have to know what he speaks. See, it's like in the corporate world, people think that as you get promoted, you have less responsibility and more joy and peace. That's not true. The higher you go up the corporate ladder, there's more pressure and more stress. Well, in the kingdom of heaven, again, as he moves you forward, like I said, I need more faith. I need more faith now than I ever did. I need to be closer to God. I'm not close enough. And again, just that next slide, Joe. I said, we have to trust. Say, your level of faith today will not finish your story. Will not finish the story. You've got to commit saying, God, okay, I got to get closer. I've got to draw in. I've got to know him better than I ever have in the past. I said, when you spend 35 hours in a plane, you read a lot, and so I've been reading a lot more, and there's some writers that I really like, just, man, they're riveting. You read them, they're page turners, you can't stop. The story's riveting, and I want your life story to be riveting. I want people to consider your life story and say, man, I can't put this down. This is inspiring. This is inspiring me. When I look at the story of David, I'm inspired. When I look at the story of Gideon, I'm inspired. When I look at the story of Ruth, I'm inspired. Wouldn't you like your story to inspire other people. Amen? Everyone wants that. Every one of us desires that. Every one of us desires that, that God would move in such a way through our lives and use us in such a way. Well, listen, the time is now. The time is now. It's time to make a decision and make a choice. Joe, you can put up that last slide. We got to give him the pen. We have to give him the pen. It belongs to him. It belongs to him. Okay? And again, some of you already know what he's telling you to do. Some of you have three or four things you know he's telling you to do. Right? Again, we know for all of us that third one, man, that hits me. I know I got to commit. But boy, that second one, you have to accept the uncomfortable. Because as Christians in the West, we think that a great Christian life means I am always comfortable. Couldn't be further from the truth. God did not create you to be comfortable. He created you to have joy and peace, but not to be comfortable. That's the reality of our story. But you got to believe he has the best story. He has the best story. You know, we have a mission trip coming up to Liberia in November. November 16th to 24th. It's going to be an evangelistic team. Okay? Some of you are supposed to be on that team. You're supposed to be there on this trip. But again, it's going to make you uncomfortable. Okay? But it's going to be a great story for the purposes of the kingdom of God. We're going to be ministering in the Muslim area the whole time. The whole time. And God, again, God's challenging you. Will you trust me? Will you give me the pen? Will you give me the pen? Some of you, you're being challenged. You know you're supposed to lead a small group, you know, a connection group. Well, again, you need to stop being afraid, trust God to write the story, and do it. You need to do it. Many of us, look, you're being challenged because I know I need to be better at sharing what I believe. I want to be someone's hero. I got to know what to share. I need to know what to say. You need to be trained. How do you share your faith? That's give God the pen. Give him the pen. Trust him. Trust him. Let's all stand. And I pray again that this has spoken life to your soul. All right? I've spoken life to your soul. And again, as a step of faith, we're not going to do this. I want you to respond to this because it just shows God that you're serious. If you're serious, like, God, I got to give you the pen of my life. If you're serious, I want you to come forward. We're just going to pray together. Just come forward right now. Come on up. Just line up across the front. Say, God, I'm giving you the pen. I'm tired of being a co-writer on my story. I'm tired of being a co-writer. That's not who I want to be. God, I want to trust you. I want to trust you. It scares the heaven out of me, but I want to trust you. I want to trust you. Again, I know there's others. You're back there. Don't wait. Come forward. Say, God, I want to be one who trusts you. I trust you. I trust you. Amen. Amen. Listen, so what we're going to do, right now, I'm going to pray, okay? And we're going to trust that God's going to inspire us, I believe, with faith, that we're going to be able to make a step that we've been holding back on. Okay, you ready? All right. So first, Father, we come before you. And God, again, we lead with repentance. Because God, I haven't trusted you. I haven't given you the pen. That means I haven't trusted you. And ask Jesus forgiveness. Jesus, forgive me. Forgive me that I have not trusted you. That I keep taking the pen back. Forgive me. And you need to know, listen, as you ask for forgiveness, he sincerely forgives. He sincerely forgives you. You're forgiven. Think about that. Take a deep breath. He's not judging you. He's saying, you're free today. You're free today. You're free today. Now, again, I'm going to ask you just as a gesture of faith. I want you to pretend you have a pen in your hand. Pretend you have a pen. Hold it up to God. And just tell him, I'm giving it to you. I'm giving it to you. I'm no longer the editor of my story. I trust you. I trust you. And God, I believe you have the best story for my life. Tell him, say, I believe you have the best story. I believe, I accept, I will be uncomfortable. I accept it. And I commit, God, to know you better. Because I know I don't have enough faith to finish the story. God, I know this prayer honors you, Father. Right now, I'm asking for your spirit to move right across the room, right across the front here, Father God. Touch hearts. God, inspire faith. Because many of you, you already know some things God's spoken to you. This is what I'm supposed to do. And I'm going to respond, and I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it, and I'm going to share it with someone. This is what I'm going to do. Now, this is what I'm going to do. And again, even though those in the church family, you can, anybody up front, or you can ask them, what's God speaking? And we should be able to respond in some way. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. It's going to be uncomfortable. That's okay. God, I trust you. I'm giving you the pen. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. In Jesus' name, I pray and I commit to know you better. In your name, amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand. Amen. You can return to your seat. And just before I hand this back over to Doug, again, if there's anyone here who you don't have a time in your life where you made Jesus the sole leader of your life, where you committed, and you don't have a day where you can say, I committed my life to Jesus Christ. I've asked him not just to forgive me, but I declared he is the boss, he is the leader. Do not leave today. Do not leave today without getting clarity on what that means. We have people here that will pray with you. Get back to Connection Point, ask that, come see me. We don't want you to leave here without that assurance. I pray you've been blessed today. Amen. Let's walk and give God the pen.